Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
Now, I don't want to get too somber on it, but I thought it would be interesting to do something this morning that's a little bit different. And I don't know how many of us are walking through a dark time at the moment, but I thought it might work if we tried something. We're going to do it in a second, but I want to just make this place completely black for a sec, and I hope that doesn't freak anyone out. And I want you to have your phone ready to turn your phone torch on. Could you do that for me? But don't turn it on yet. You wait for the instructions, because you're a faithful church who obey the rules most of the time. Are you ready to go? Cool, let's hit the lights. Turn your phones off. It's me first. If your phone torch is on, can you have a look at your phone? Because some of you got your torches on. Now, it's quite dark in here. And I'm going to read from the Word. It says this, John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, if you're in your 20s, can you turn your phone torch on and wave it around? Nice, lots of 20s, that's good. If you are a male human being, turn your phone on. Only one of you, that's good. Light around. Okay. If you're over 40, turn your phone on. Let's go. I'm leaving some people out, eh? Everyone, turn your phone lights on. Let's go. Have a look around the room. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, now I want everyone to turn your phone torch off. If you rely on me on a Sunday or on Pastor Luke or on Pastor Nick or on Pastor Ben bringing a light into your life and into a dark time for you or for anyone around you, it's not going to be enough. It's not. You need to turn your own light on. You need to turn your own word on. Not only that, we need each other. We need each other's light to see clearly the path ahead as a church. This is a word for us, I believe. Holy Spirit wants to let you know that He has light for you in your life, and it's not just going to come from you, it's going to come from the others around you. I'm going to go another level. Outside of the walls of our church is a darkness that many of us don't experience. And God is saying to you, would you turn your light on? And would you go out into the darkness with my light? You see, I'm going to keep this dark for a sec. Because the other day I was at an airport and there was a guy and he'd left his phone torch on accidentally. Have you ever seen that? Well, it's in their pocket and it's like coming through their pocket. And I got his attention and he looked at me like I was a weirdo. And I was like trying to, wave my arms around. And I was like, bro, your torch is on. He's like, what? Your phone torch is on, and I mimed it to him. He goes, oh, thanks, bro, thanks. But I thought, wouldn't it be great if we were a church of people who left our light on? So that when we walked around our communities, when we walked into our workplaces, when we walked into our schools, people would go, hey, your light's on. Today I want to call this message, Follow the Light. Let's go. Cool. Yeah, thanks. Let's praise God for that. On Monday morning, I knew I was going to be leading a funeral on Thursday. And I also knew that I was speaking today. And God is so gracious that I think He just went and put this message in my spirit, in my heart, and I'm stoked because I get to share it with you today. I'm excited to bring this message because I'm passionate about God's word, which I believe is the light. Yeah. that we need in our lives. I've literally gone from someone who didn't read the Bible very much at all, who maybe relied on the Sunday thing, Sunday light, and then walk out into my week. I've literally gone from being that guy to being someone who cannot do without it every morning. And I would love for you to kind of grab my heart for it, because it's real. It's actually real. It is alive and active. It's not just something I read, but it reads me. Hebrews 4 famously says this: the Word of God is alive and active. This is not just a book we read. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, or our emotions and our spirit man, joints and marrow, the physical. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, is literally saying that the Word reads us. And I would say this is true of the Word of God. Cool. We're in a series on the Bible, and I'm going to unpack this motif of light a little bit better, this theme of light through the Bible a bit after this. But I really wanted to go over a little bit of Pastor Luke's message, because it was 2 weeks ago. And if you did miss it, I think there's some real amazing things in here. I've got two Bibles up here today just to prove that I read, you know, a lot. This one is a sister's Bible. I've talked about it often. It's not my sister's Bible. It's from the sister's conference a few years ago. And I have literally scribbled all through this thing. It's lost its ribbon. It's really falling apart because it's not great. And last year I thought, man, for my birthday, I would love, see, I'm this much of a Bible geek. I would love a goat skin leather Bible. I've never had a proper leather Bible before. And so for my birthday, I got this amazing NIV, New International Version. It's got three ribbons. It's so cool. It's got three ribbons. And which actually comes in handy. I'm sorry, it does. Oh, my word, I'm such a geek. It is a beautiful Bible. I love smelling it. It smells delicious. And I'm sorry if this offends you, but I write in it. I underline things in it. Anyway. Love the Bible. These are my Bibles, my two main ones anyway. I've got a big fat study one at home, but I tend to use the internet more than that. So we're in the study on the Bible, and I really want to go over what Pastor Luke said. He said something that really is what I want to pick up from today, and it's this. He said, the Bible is supposed to transform us, not inform us. And I wonder why, if that's why some of us have so much, it's such a challenge for us to get this routine and this daily opening the Word in our lives, is because maybe we misunderstand this. Maybe we think, oh, I just read it. But actually, I want you to get this idea. It's not just to inform you, it's to transform you. I've experienced this in my life. Now, statistically, many of us struggle to read the Bible. Christians find it challenging. And I think there's a couple of roadblocks. Pastor Luke mentioned them. Number one, prioritization. We don't have time. We find it difficult to get in the routine. It's not a priority for us. I think this is surface level symptom. Deeper than that, I think we can be confused sometimes. Find it hard to read. Where do I start? I want to read the Bible, but I just don't know the first step of it. I'm going to try and give us some tips today to help us. If that's you, of course. How to read it is tricky as well. Do we just read and then close it and go off and have breakfast? And number three is foundational misunderstanding. We don't actually know what it is. We don't realize that it's the light. We don't realize that God's Word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. It guides us. It gives us light, like we talked about at the beginning. Pastor Luke built a foundational case for the assurance we can have in Scripture. That it's a book written over 1,600 years by over 40 different authors from different walks of life, separated by geography, separated by history, separated by language even, yet they wrote a cohesive story. Now, I want to geek out just a little bit, but I need to go fast. It's this. Jesus fulfilled over 300 points of Old Testament prophecy, Pastor Luke said. Yeah. Did you realize that 80 of them were on the day he died? pretty hard to do, right? But I don't know if you're like me, but the critique person in me, the critical side of my brain goes, yeah, what if he knew them, which he did because he was Jewish, and he just went about his life trying to make them all come true? Have you ever thought about that? You're like, maybe he was just a mean trickster and he's perpetuated the biggest hoax the world has ever seen. Problem is, a lot of these prophecies were out of his control, like where he would be born. The prophet Micah in chapter 5 says that he would be, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Pretty hard to control that. You ever tried? I was born in Hamilton. Be like, mate, obviously no control over that. Another one is you'd be born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 says he'd be born of a virgin. You've ever thought about Isaiah writing that down? I'm a prophet, I'm hearing from the Lord. They'd be born of a virgin? What? God, are you sure? I did seventh form biology and it takes at least, you know, two to tango, husband and wife, candlelit dinner, you know. Sure you want me to write this down, yet the prophet Isaiah was faithful to write this down, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Impossible to take that, plan that. A lot of what Jesus proved from the Old Testament, we know it was written in the Old Testament. It wasn't doctored. We know that we have the same text and we can date those texts to the time of Isaiah. Around 700, 800 years before Jesus was even walking on the earth. So we historically have good evidence that the Bible is legit. So how could we have a Bible that creates a single unified story with all of those pieces to it? It's 66 books in the Bible that points to one person, Jesus. My kids have got the Jesus Storybook Bible. Have you ever heard of this? And it tells all the Bible stories, and then at the end of each story points to Jesus. This is a story in the Bible that points to Jesus because of this. It's awesome. It's great theology. There's only one author of the Bible. You see, my father, to kind of help us understand this, my dad, Robin Hanna, was an architect. He designed buildings, but he was not a bricklayer. So he didn't put the bricks in place. In fact, I would walk around Hamilton with my mates and I'd be like, my dad, he made that. He didn't actually make it, but it came out of his head. And he made the plans and the builders went about building it. So when he says that he built that, he designed it. It was conceptually from his mind. This word is from the mind of Christ. It is Christ the word. Cool. All right, are you ready? Follow the light. Here we go. The practical part. The Bible has many motifs and themes, like bread, water, fire. You know, it has lots of these things. But one of them is light. In fact, it's one of the first ones, arguably. It's from Genesis 1, verse 3. It says this. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Stop there. God said his word. God's word brought life. And sorry, light. Jump ahead to the Psalms. Plenty of light motifs through the early Old Testament. But let's go to Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. Now jump ahead to the New Testament, John. John then jumps back to Genesis. Sorry, back for you. That's back for me, back for you. If you saw that picture that Pastor Luke put up with all the cross references in the Bible, just excessive, right? The Bible is one unified story. Anyway, John chapter 1, you will know this is quite popular. If you don't know, this is it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus. Christ the Word. He was with God in the beginning, through whom all things were made, alluding to the Trinity. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We stand here on the 22nd of October, 2023. The darkness has still not overcome the light. Let's take our light into the communities that we're a part of. Let's take our light, the light of Christ, into the world around us. It's not us that has to do, we're just the light bearers. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, we are the light of the world as a church. A city on a hill. We're kind of on a hill because the motorway's down there and we're kind of up here as Life North. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again, he said to the people, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a promise right from the Bible. You might want to just sit on that this week. God be my light. This is how God kind of speaks to me sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. A word will drop out. It'll jump out at me. And I'll underline it in my Bible. Or I'll just underline the whole verse and then I'll circle the word. I get excited about that. Grab that too. Maybe take that into your study of the word. Read and wait until he underlines something for you. Then grab a pen and underline it for yourself. That is the Holy Spirit talking to you, illuminating the light in his word. That's why I'm so excited about it, because it's not just, oh, yep, I read, I tick the box, I'm done, I'm a good Christian. Yeah. It's, man, I heard from God this morning. Come on. And this is what he said. Go out into all the world with your light. Follow the light. And then guess what? Turn around and say, hey, I'm following the light, come follow me. And you will find that people would say, hey, your light's on. What is it about you? What's different about you? Shine your light before men, before your communities, before women, before everyone. Let's do it. Here's the cool thing, man, in this verse. Can we put that John 8:12 up again? Notice some things, eh? When the word light jumps out at you, this is what I noticed this week as well. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. What's our theme for this year as a church? Come follow me, right? Whoever follows me, when we choose to take those steps of faith and follow Jesus and discover more of him and his word, we are following a light in the darkness. He knows where he's going. All we need to do is illuminate it. Open the word, pray, be around everyone as a church, praise his name. We start seeing that the light that we're following is the light of life. The light of the world. See, C.S. Lewis said this, we come to scripture not to learn a subject, but to steep ourselves in a person. Great way to put it, eh? Jesus is the light, and his word is a light. Can I just have a little dad joke moment, philosophical moment for a sec? In Ephesians 6, it says that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Okay? Imagine a sword blade coming out of my Bible. Now, if the word is also the light, could that mean that the Bible is a lightsaber? Star Wars fans, are you with me? None of you guys enjoyed that joke. Pray for them. I am your father. So many jokes here. I find your lack of faith disturbing. I don't know. Sorry. Don't be discouraged. It's actually a good thing. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Get this, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. By our good works, we show the light. So how do we follow the light? How do we do this? I'm excited because I've got some 5 hot tips for us as a church on how to do this. So you might be the best Bible theologian, like scholar in the world. That's great. I love it. I hope you can still grab something out of this. Number one, get a real Bible. Get a real Bible. It's super important. An analog Bible, not a digital one, a paper-based Bible, in a translation you understand. And I've got a good tip here as well. A good place to start for that would be downloading the Bible app on your phone. In fact, if you don't have it on your phone, do it right now. Grab it on your phone. It's down there on the easy access menu for me. And in there, you can read passages of the Bible in different versions. And I would encourage you to do that most of the time anyway. I like the NIV, the New International Version. I like the NLT, the New Living Translation. I love the Message, but it's considered, there's some debate about it. It's considered a paraphrase. So it's always good to read the Message with a translation. Does that make sense? So it's a great way to unwrap the wonder of the Bible in modern contemporary language. But you need to, I think, have a good variety of translations that you look at. A lot of you nodding my head, your heads at me. You're the scholars. It's awesome. Love it. Cool. Here's another quote. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Love Spurgeon, eh? The Prince of Preachers. Man, he had some good material that I've stolen a lot of over the years. So get a real Bible. Number two, get a time, a place, and a plan. Now, I've got a challenge for you after this. I've got a 21-day challenge. We're going to talk about it soon. But from tomorrow, I want to start a 21-day challenge where we would read the Bible for 21 days every day. And part of this would be get a time. I would suggest first thing in the morning. If you get up at 6:30, get up at 6:20. If you get up at, or 6 o'clock, if you're up for that. I get up at 6 o'clock. This morning, I got up at 1:45 because I needed to prep myself and pray. But here's the idea. Get a time, get a place. I'm going to show you my place. Is that all right? This is my spot. Cool. There's my Bible there. There's my chair. And there's my custom shop Gibson 356 guitar for, ready for worship. The worship team are laughing. That's good. That's good. So I have my place. Having a time and having a place is like half the battle won. Before you get anything, get organized. Organize a time and a place. Could be in bed, sitting up in bed. That's fine. I don't care where it is. You find a time and you find a place, and then you get a plan. Get a plan. For me, at the moment, the last couple of years, it's been The Bible in a Year by Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, the pioneers of Alpha. They have a great Bible in a Year plan. This year, I've cheated so much. I'm going to tell you about it. But this is where you'll find it on the Bible app. You can buy it in a book form, which we did, and then we discovered it was free on the Bible app. But Debs uses the analog one, and I use this one. But this is what it looks like. There's a classic version, which is the whole thing. There's Express, which is just picks a couple of verses from each kind of thing. And then there's the youth version, which is great as well. There's plenty of other year in a Bible things. If you've never read the Bible from cover to cover, can I encourage you to do it? It will do, do something. The years ago when I decided, I'm going to read it right from the thing, I could never make it through a whole year, so I chose a Bible in 90 days, and I just smashed it. It took me 100 days. But when I got to the end of it, I was like, I saw all these things that had happened during the last 100 days, and I was like, that's no accident. That's me having the Word of God in my life, right? Yeah. Cool. Okay. Awesome. If you're just starting out with the Bible, can I suggest something? Downloading the YouVersion Bible app, and in the Bible app, there's a little menu down the bottom, and it says Discover, and it looks like this. And if you are in love, you could click the love button. If you're in a place where you need hope, you could click the hope button. And there will be plans, images, videos, pieces of scripture that will help you in your moment. Now, below there, it says new to faith. You can study things like that, how to study the Bible. It's a 5-day plan. There's plans. You could just click the plans thing up there, and it'll show you and give you some plans to have. So number one, can everyone remember number one? Get a real Bible that you can write in, that you can put the dates on things where God showed you things. You can write, hey, this is awesome. Wow. I sometimes write wow in my Bible. Get a Bible, get a time and a place. Understand the context. What book are you reading? Who was it written to? What's the genre of the book? There's 66 books in the Bible. It's really important that we understand how to think. Now, you might be sitting there going, oh, man, you're giving me a lot of stuff to do, but there is a great resource to help you. You don't need to go and buy a fat study Bible. You can go to Bible Project. Bible Project is amazing. And they have these cool and kind of videos that will show you the book you're reading. So like maybe the book of John, you can go, okay, cool. Who the heck was John? And you can then go and look at who wrote it, why did he write it, what's the book all about, how's it all spread out. You get to know the context on a six-minute video. It's awesome. You don't have to go and go to a theological library somewhere and study it. YouTube have Bible Project videos as well. You can know there's an app as well, or it's just a plain online, go to their website. Number four, read slowly and ask questions. This is one that gets me because I'll get in a hurry and I'll get busy and I'll read real fast and I'll shut my Bible. I'll be like, I kind of didn't get anything out of that. And you might have days like this and that's cool. But try and read slowly and ask questions as like, God, what's that about? I think if you read the Gospels, you'll get pretty fast, you'll get this idea that Jesus said some things that were pretty confronting. Not just for them back then, but for us now. Don't just read to tick a box, read to encounter God. Don't just read to tick a box, read to turn the light on in your life and follow the light. Ephesians 1:17, this is my verse for the year, it says this, I keep asking that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit, Richard Innes, I know you love this verse as well, man, to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that what? So that you may tick a box? So that you may look like a better Christian than other people? So that you may always be right? No. So that you would know the light of the world better. That's it. This is Paul praying that people would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know Jesus better. Number five, pray for God to speak to you and apply what he reveals to you. James 1. I have to mention James in every sermon that I speak, and this is the James 1. It had to be there somewhere. Do not merely listen to the word on the Bible app, audio version, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I just want to zip through that. Can we go through? Can we? Because the last bit is amazing. Is it? The last part is, okay, next one. Anyone listen to the word? Yeah. Go next one. Yeah, cool. Look at that last bit. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. When you follow the light, you will find that God starts blessing your steps, ordering your steps, bringing people along for God and appointments that you have the right word at the right time for them. That's you. That's you. That's all of us. That we will be blessed in what we do. Not blessed from a worldly perspective where I get to drive a Ferrari, but blessed as in we get to lead other people to come follow me as I follow Christ. Cool. All right, so get a real Bible, get a time, and a time, place, and a plan. Understand the context, read slowly and pray, asking God to unlock truth, wisdom, and revelation to you. Here's my challenge. We've got 21 days. My 21-day challenge. Tomorrow morning, what are you going to do? Three things. You know what you're going to do because you're going to set a time and you're going to think of a place to be and you're going to get a plan. Can I suggest this? The Gospel of John is 21 chapters long. You could do the Gospel of John in 21 days with me. Sound good?
Yeah.
There's a cool plan on the Bible app. It looks like this. And it gives you a little devotional to help you through what is today all about. And then you read the chapter, pray, remember those things. And we'll go forward. If that's too much for you, step back a little bit. You could go to the search function on the Bible app again, and you could search for a shorter plan or something a bit more easy. The other option is this. Just go to the home page of the Bible app, and every day there is a verse of the day. You could start with one verse. I know many preachers who are verse a day guys, and they sit on that verse, and they go, God, what have you got for me in this? Cool. My prayer is that after 21 days, we will have a deeper hunger for God's word. That it wouldn't just be 21 days exercise, but it would carry on for the rest of your life. That it'll deepen and grow your relationship with Jesus. The light of God's word is powerful. And there's so many testimonies of people who simply in a hotel room opened a Gideon's Bible and started reading. And that was it for them. They became followers of Jesus simply by reading the word. They didn't take another person to come in and lead them to Christ. One is, my favorite is a skateboarder called Christian Hosoi. And I'm going to get the team up. Growing up, I loved skateboarding, and there were two guys who would always fight it out for the world championship of skateboarding. One was Tony Hawk, you might know him. And one was a guy called Christian Hosoi, you might not know him. Tony Hawk, around the time where he made a game with Sony called Tony Hawk Pro Skater, he made a lot of money out of that. And Christian Hosoi at the same time was spending a lot of money. Being a celebrity, drugs, party scene, all the stuff that comes with that. A few years later, it all caught up with Christian Hosoi, and he was arrested at Honolulu Airport for trafficking methamphetamine. He was looking at 10 years in federal prison. He had, early in his sentence, a guy who was released from prison walked past his cell and put a Bible through the bars. Go, bro, this is for you. Because they all knew who he was. And Christian was like, thanks, but I don't need a Bible. I need a lawyer. I need an attorney. Anyway, not much to do in prison. So Christian starts opening up the pages of the Bible. He goes to the contents page and he rots through and he's like, Genesis, Exodus. He sees 1st and 2nd Kings. He's like, yeah, Kings. I could get into something like that. Sounds good. I was the king of skateboarding, so, you know, sweet. I'll read that. And these are his words. He says, it was like the scales came off my eyes. It was like the blinders were taken away. It was like God speaking to me directly through his word. Now, he did his sentence. He paid his time. Christian Hosoi is now an ordained pastor in Huntington Beach, California. And he uses his platform as a skating legend to bring the message of Christ, the light of the world, to millions across the globe. You see, God's word is powerful. His light is so powerful. And this morning, you can experience that same thing too. See, I think Christian would say that his sin was very evident to him. He knew he was doing wrong. And the Bible talks about sin. Sin, if we really understood it, is something that is destructive in our lives, but it's also destructive in the lives of those around us and further afield in our communities. We all know it in our nations. We all feel it and read it in the news. Sin separates an imperfect humanity from a perfect God. The wages of sin is death. And nothing we can do will bridge that gap. We think, hey, I'll just be a good person. We literally can't do it, but for Jesus, the light of the word, the hope of the world, our living hope. He died and rose again 3 days later, showing not only that he could defeat death, but he was the perfect sacrifice that paid for our sin. And he simply says, come. See, religion would say, hey, do lots of rules and you might make your way to God. Do the right thing, be a right, good person. But Jesus says, no, it's done. Religion says do, Jesus says done. It is finished. And all we need to do is accept the invitation. Because John 3:16, one of the most famous verses, in the light of his word says, for God so loved us that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him, and we stand on this side and we say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. We shall not perish, but we shall have eternal life. Where his daughter Joyous is right now, where there is no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering, no more death. But it's an acceptance and a belief and an invitation from Jesus that would simply say, would you trust me and have faith in me? And would you come follow the light?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.